ask you to pray. You know, if we come here and slap each other on the back and say, good old boys.
Right.
But that wouldn't accomplish much.
That's right. Amen.
We come in here with needs. We come in with needy hearts. We that are saved have great needs in our lives. We need the Lord like
Amen.
Never before. In this dark day we live in,
I
mentioned this last night. Colossians says, the mystery of the ages is this. Christ in you, the absolute concrete hope of
Amen.
Glory.
Yes.
It's not a wishy-washy
That's right.
hope. It's a blessed hope.
Amen.
It's the anchor of our soul. And
That's
if you
right.
if you don't lean on Him and trust Him, you have no anchor. If you're a Christian trying to do it on your own, you're going to fail.
That's right.
It'll be a miserable existence.
That's right.
But if you remember this, you're going to fail.
Yes.
But He'll never fail.
Amen.
And when you fail, He's there to pick you up, keep
right.
you going.
Amen.
I want to look with you to the book of Genesis again.
Amen.
I think instead of reading the scripture, I want to begin with this. I've got a commentator that I've been studying, John, what's his name?
Butler.
Huh?
Butler.
John Butler from Pennsylvania. John Butler lists 142 verses in the Bible that say that Joseph is a type of Christ. There's nothing in the Bible that says Joseph is a type of Christ. It's just the likeness. Here's what I got in my Bible. It is never asserted that Joseph is a type of Christ, but the analogies are too numerous to be accidental. They both were special objects of the Father's love.
Amen.
We'll see that tonight.
Yes.
Both were hated by their brethren. The superior claims of both were rejected by those brethren. The brethren of both conspired against them to slay them and did slay them. Joseph was in tent and in figure slain by his brethren. We're going to see that tomorrow night. Each became a blessing among the Gentiles. Think about that. Any of y'all Jews? Well, you do love Him, don't you?
Amen.
And you have the blessing of the Lord on you, don't you?
Amen.
He's a blessing among us Gentiles,
Amen.
Don't you see? Each one of them gained a Gentile bride. Think about this. I hope we can see Joseph getting his Gentile bride before this meeting's over. I'm not making very fast progress through this, I tell you. But Jesus, Paul, those nine epistles of Paul to the churches
yes, right.
tell us that we are. I'm not a Baptist brider, don't get that. But we are the bride of Christ. We, the church of God, are the bride of Christ. And as Joseph was reconciled with his brethren and exalted by his brethren, one day, we'll be reconciled. It does not yet appear what we'll be. But when we see Him, we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that day, brother, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So, That's the reason where 20 chapters of Genesis is dedicated to this fellow named Joseph. And that's the reason we're spending time looking this week. I was thinking about these statements that I've made and this likeness to Christ. I would like for us to look at Him a little different tonight. My viewpoint for us is a likeness to the believers in Christ. And I hope you'll see some of that tonight. You can take whatever part of it you can get a hold of. And I've got more that I've got scribbling all over this paper. I don't know how much I'll get said. But we come down here. We started looking at chapter 30. Last night, God remembered Rachel. God hearkened to her. God opened her womb.
Yes.
And she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach.
Amen.
And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, not until, but only when Joseph was born, Jacob picked it up, went back to the Holy Land. In this chapter, Jacob's going to hear that cry from Bethel, the house of God. Come back over here to the house of God. Come back to Bethel. Come back to the place that you left me. Come back over here and know me in a new and real way. That's revival, my friend.
Yes, sir.
You know, all around us are people. We're living in Texas. Here's Houston, Texas. I live in the Metroplex up there in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I know those guys over in North Carolina don't like to hear this, or Florida or Georgia. But we're right here on the buckle of the Bible Belt. He's been here all the time.
Right.
And our churches, we've got Baptists on every corner. But there's not many Baptists in any corner that are fellowshipping with the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Now, we already got the verse. Our preacher gave us 1 John.
Yes, sir.
Over there in 1 John chapter 3, he said, I wish you'd just sit still a while and let me show you to Him. So let me show Him to you. Because our fellowship is with the Lord.
Amen.
And then He begins that process of demonstrating and showing the fellowship that, hey, the joy of the Lord is knowing Him in a real and personal way. It's not enough just to be a member of the Sunday school.
That's right.
You'll be miserable. I mean, you don't have to show me your hands. I don't want to say that. How many of you have said, well, I wanted to stay home and watch TV tonight. I don't want to go to church. Down in your heart of hearts, did you ever say that?
Right.
We all have.
Yeah.
Or if it's not that, it's something else.
Right.
The lust of our flesh battle against the person of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the sweetest time of your life is that day. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
That's the sweetest day you'll ever know.
Amen.
And that's revival.
Yes. Amen.
Every Christian must have, Billy Sunday said, every Christian must have seasons of revival in their life.
Amen.
We all need a day when we're drawn back to Him.
Amen.
We all need a day when we get our eyes off ourselves
yes,
and off of those around us
right.
and humble ourselves and
Amen.
Open ourselves
Amen.
And get past ourselves and yes. look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of
Amen.
Our faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's that season. So here we are.
Yes.
Now look over to chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. What'd you do, Jacob? I heard the cry from Bethel and I came back over here. I've come home to meet with God
Amen.
In the land of Canaan.
Amen. Yes.
These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. You can turn back to 35. Those last verses are about 19 through 25 or 6 and read the whole heritage of all of Jacob's sons, the wicked sons and the worthless sons and then the sons. And he says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. Bilhah and Zilpah were the concubines. They weren't even legal wives of Jacob. These are illegal sons of Jacob. I would say to us as Baptists that every one of us got some illegal sons that live with us. I mean, there's some of that junk we watch, some of those things we know, some of the experiences we have that have no business in a Christian heart.
Amen.
We spent our time last night talking about these boys, the wickedness of these boys. But Joseph is in the middle of them. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Remember, this is not a tattletale that coming with a tale. This is a representative of the family farm and the family interests coming to report to the father of what's wrong with the sheep, what's wrong with the crowd, why we're not making a living out there, what's the problem. He gives their evil report, not to the neighborhood,
Amen.
But to the Father.
Amen.
And not with a judgmental attitude, but with an honest attitude to establish and find a place of home life, of peace and prosperity and hope and gladness.
Amen.
That's exactly what God says you need to do if you have revival.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just
Amen.
To forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
You refuse to confess. You refuse to report the evil report.
Right.
You try to cover yourself up and say, I'm a member of the church and I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll never have revival.
Amen.
Joseph came with their evil report. He wasn't telling lies.
Right.
He was giving them facts.
Right.
And he was giving it to the Father. That's all God wants you to do, give the facts to the Father.
Amen.
When we do that, we'll know the blessing of God.
That's right. Amen.
Well, that's where we were last night. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel, that's Jacob, you remember, Israel is the prince of God that was a deceiver of this world. That's Jacob who became Israel.
Yes.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Because he was the son of his old age, I'm going to come back to this, and he made him a coat of many colors, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it. I'm going to stop right there. We'll read those dreams. There's two dreams. He's going to give them two dreams, and then God's going to say, his brethren envied him, verse 11, but the father observed the saying. I'm going to stop. I'll just stop reading right there. I've got some reporting to do, and then we'll take the text a little further if we get to further. I want to get further. I want to say something about this favoritism. Verse number 3 says, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was a son of his old age. Now, Jacob was 91 years old when Joseph was born. He is the son of his old age. And Jacob, last night we talked about this, that Joseph was born of the mother that Jacob had loved all of his life. He worked 14 years for this woman. Laban deceived him and gave him a false wife. Her name was Leah. She was never the wife of the heart of Jacob. You understand why Jacob might have loved him a little more? Because that mother, he had a mother. One of the saddest days in this book of Genesis is the day that Rachel died in birth. To Benjamin, his little brother. And certainly in the day of in Joseph's life, it was a sad day. He had a mother that must have been something. But now Jacob has picked out Joseph. In every home in Israel, the oldest son had. But if you look at those sons of Leah, I'm not going to go to all of them. We looked at a couple of them already, but the oldest one, what did he do? He's had an adulterous affair with one of the concubines of his father. The next two, what did they do? Chapter 35. Dinah is taken by the Gentiles and defiled by the Gentiles, and they become murderers, Levi and Simeon. And they become murderers. So the three oldest boys, one of them is an adulterer, two of them are murderers. You see the problem? Now Joseph has come on the scene. That verse, way back over in chapter 30, that verse said, when Joseph was born, Jacob went back to Israel. He went back home to God. He went back to the altar. He went back to a place of fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
He got out of Laban's territory and came over to God's territory.
Amen.
Y'all remember a day in your life when that happened to you?
Yes, sir.
I sure do. I mean, I remember several days when it happened to me. Some of us are like Jacob.
Yeah.
We were there and we got out and had to come back a time or two, right? But he always welcomes us home.
Amen.
So here's, do you see the, I just hope you can see, he was not just a spoiled brat.
That's right.
He was out there working with the other sons, just like they were. But he was by Jacob, who was the man of God, the father of the house, the leader of the house, by his estimation, here is my inheritor.
Right.
Here is my chosen successor. You say, how you know that? Well, look at the verse. He loved Joseph more than all of his children.
Yeah.
Let me say something to you. There's a lot of gray hairs and no hairs here. We ought to be careful about accusing these young people.
Yeah.
Some of these young people, I could point you to some young people that have more spiritual intelligence than some old Christians that have been in church a long time. Just because Joseph is 17 years old doesn't mean Joseph doesn't have spiritual sense. In fact, if you check out if you go back over to 35 and read all those other names, find me one that has more spiritual ability than Joseph out of the crowd of 12.
That's right.
They're a wicked bunch. It's a wicked bunch. He's in the middle of a wicked, wicked bunch.
Yeah. Amen.
And Jacob knows that. Jacob understands. The fourth son, that's Judah.
Yeah.
He's had a child born by his daughter-in-law.
Right.
They're a wicked bunch, every one of them. They do have an evil report. God gave us an evil report. But here came Joseph, 17 years old now. And one of the Bible commentators said that that word, the son, says, this verse doesn't give much clarity to it, but says, Israel loved Joseph more than his other children, for he was the son of his old age. One of the commentators said that phrase, the son of his old age, says he's the, to the Jews, it says he's the gray beard on green shoulders. What that means is he has wisdom of age when he's not yet old. He has got an old man's wisdom when he hasn't got the experience and seniority. So, if we observe his actions, he'll show us that in these next chapters. So Israel loved Joseph more than his other children, and he made him a coat of many colors. I want to change the opinion of some of you on this coat. This is not just a pretty coat. The only other time this little phrase, a coat of many colors, I've got it wrote down here. The only other time you see it is in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 18, and it applies to the king's daughter. Now, if you lived as a Jew, the shepherd wore a knee-high tunic of some sort. Most of them didn't have sleeves, or if they did have, they were shorts. It was a work uniform. Working people wore that garment. The only people that wore a multicolored coat were one of two categories. They were either royalty living in a palace, or they were of the priesthood.
Yep. Wow. Amen.
Y'all getting it?
Yeah. Right.
See, one day we came to the Father. We gave our report, and He put on us a robe of righteousness. And now we have access to the throne room. Us nobodies from nowhere, with no great education and no great abilities, know things that those engineers and philosophers and professors out there can't even understand.
Amen.
We've got some knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Because we have it from the Father.
Amen.
The Father put the robe on him, and it was a recognition that here's my boy.
Amen.
Here is my successor. Here is the superintendent of the shepherds.
Amen.
In the fields of Jacob.
Amen.
That's what the bunch of cut.
Hey,
it wasn't a work coat. It was a supervisor coat.
Right.
You heard about that guy that was out there digging ditches and they were talking to the boss and those guys said, one of them said, well, I make this. Other than said, I make this. And the boss, they finally said, how much do you make, boss? He said, well, his number was less than theirs. They said, well, why in the world do you work for that when you could work, you could be making what we make? He said, well, it's worth a lot to be boss. Well, Joseph was boss. Why did he bring the evil report?
Yeah.
Because it's the company right. Business of the family.
That's right.
And he brought, if he didn't bring a right report, he's went back on who he is.
Right.
We said that last night. We already saw that. He had two reasons for bringing that report. One is he's the son of Jacob. Hey, Baptist, it'll do you good if you can just get here. If my people who are called by my name
Amen.
Will humble themselves and pray and Amen. Seek my face. How long since you really heard from heaven?
Amen.
How long since you got past yourself and just come humble before Him?
Amen.
That's the only time of blessing, my friend. You do it on your way, you just keep on living it, and it's a miserable, and you're going to make a wreck of your life.
Yeah, amen.
The day you surrender yourself to Him, that's the day the blessings come.
Amen.
If Joseph had half sense, when he made the evil report, he knew that he was going to be hated by his brethren.
Right?
You've been around brethren before. You've been around people. You know what it is.
Yep.
He could not be popular
right.
and be true
yep.
to the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
He could not put on that coat and expect his brethren to respect him and honor him.
Amen.
You ought to get a hold of this, Christian.
Yep.
When you stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
When you call yourself a son of God out there in that world, you won't have the respect of the people out there either.
Right. Amen.
I think it's over. I don't know where to say it, but the Bible says that we all ought to expect if we serve God, there'll be persecution.
Right.
When we claim Christ, when we wear our righteous robe,
That's right.
when we become the advocate of the Father,
Amen.
We become the offscouring of this world.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You won't be popular there,
Amen.
But you'll be blessed there.
Amen.
The robe. See,
Amen.
that robe of many colors. The Jew word talks about the wrists and the ankles. This robe, this decorated robe, is all the way down to the wrist and all the way down to the ankle. You can't work in that.
Right, right.
It's a badge. It marks you.
Amen.
It says who you are.
Amen.
The coat. That's the coat.
Amen.
But look here. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. He became the object of their ridicule and their mockery and every mean thing they could think of to do. Why don't y'all like Joseph? Because he's dad's favorite. Because he wears that robe. But, so, can you see this? It declares his position. But the day he put the robe on, it signifies a calling. He now has responsibilities they don't have.
Amen.
He now has to answer in the trying times when they're at ease.
That's right. Amen.
It's a picture of you and me, brother.
That's right. That's good.
It's a picture of what God has done with us. He has dressed us in the righteousness of Christ, and now we are not responsible to this world.
Amen.
We're responsible to the Father.
Amen.
But thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so
Amen.
Glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that when I fall down, He picks me up. I'm
yeah.
so glad Hallelujah. That He stands with me. I'm
Amen.
Glad that He strengthens me.
Amen.
I'm glad the grace of God is supplied for
Amen.
Every need.
Amen.
Every hour of need.
That's
he
right.
said, I can come and get my prayers. I can say, I've a Father. And he'll look at the blood of Christ and supply me.
Amen.
I got on the robe
Amen.
Of righteousness.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Yes.
That's us.
That's right.
But it sets a barrier with the brothers. Purity above others. He wasn't their senior, he was their junior. But senior, see, there is, let's see here, there is, I've got three things here. There's talent, and there's seniority. You know what's wrong with most of our churches? Is we picked out talent and seniority.
Yeah.
I was over at Alvin. We didn't have deacons, but we had some trustees. I called them the pastor's advisory board. The reason we didn't have deacons, we didn't have anybody qualified to be a deacon. They all had the scars of the world on them. But we had those. Well, we had a fella who came in. He was a vice president of an oil company in Houston. And buddy, he had some talents. He could say stuff and think stuff that you and I have a problem with. I couldn't hardly wait till the day I could get him on that trustee board. And so I did. We had an issue come up. Yeah, there's always an issue.
Yeah.
And we had a man that was abusing some, and we called him up to come before the men. And I got up there and broke with a broken heart.
Yeah.
And wept before all the men. My star trustee came to me and he said, "You showed a lot of weakness today." Said you shouldn't ever cry before your men. He was still at the oil company.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
He was doing business at the oil company way.
Right, right.
Hey, well, this is not an oil company.
Amen.
This is not a business.
Amen.
This is God's house.
That's right. Amen.
Hey, an humble heart. There's talent. There's seniority, and then there's purity.
Amen.
A pure heart. God won't despise a pure heart.
That's right. That's right.
And you may not know cornbread from from tortillas. If you don't, I'm sorry for you. But if you've got a pure heart, God's going to bless you.
Amen.
Purity buys more.
Amen.
Than seniority.
Amen.
Church, that's what's wrong in the churches.
Right.
We've hung our hat on seniority and we've got 17-year-olds with some purity.
Amen.
That God could use.
That's right.
Amen.
And we've bypassed them. Oh, just because old Joe's a good old boy, just because he has a certain amount of business understanding,
right,
doesn't make him the best candidate.
Amen.
As a servant of God in the
Amen.
House of God.
That's right.
Just bring who you are.
Amen.
Let God pour through you.
Amen.
Joseph was 17 years old.
Right.
He couldn't know what some of those other guys knew.
Right.
But he brought a pure heart.
Amen.
And God's looking for a pure heart.
Amen, brother.
See, I told you it's just scribbled here and there. Let's look at it now. And Joseph dreamed a dream. We're moving now. We've come through the purity of Joseph.
Amen.
We've come through the coat of Joseph.
Yeah.
We've come through the family, and now we come to the visions.
Amen.
Of Joseph. Two visions. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." That's the first dream. "And his brethren said unto me, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And listen to this. "And they hated him yet the more." They already hated him about a coat. They already hated him about being the father's choice. But now they hated him more.
Right.
It'll build, friend.
That's right.
For they hated him more for his dreams and for his words.
Yeah.
"And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him. That word rebuked there, one of the dictionaries said it means to scream or shout.
Yeah.
It's a harsh word.
Yes, sir.
Jacob, can you picture? As he tells the dream, Jacob screams out, "You mean you think I'm going to bow to you, boy? Dad, you ever pulled one of them on your kids?"
Yeah.
Well, we have, haven't we? We know what it is to rebuke that boy.
Yeah.
And you as a boy know what it is to receive a rebuke.
Right.
Look, think about it now. Joseph is the straight one.
Right.
The rest of these guys are a bunch of wild men. They're advocates of hell. They're wicked.
Yes, sir.
But here's a pure-hearted boy. And God has given... We don't have to depend on dreams.
Right, amen.
I remember a day we had a couple in our church. We were just getting started. They hadn't been saved very long. She come in one night and she said, they'd been talking about moving or doing something. And she come in one night and she said, "Brother Wayne, I got the answer today." I said, "Oh, really? What kind of answer did you get?" She said, "We're going to move. I opened up my Bible and it said, go north."
Right.
said, it's straight from God, and I'm going to go north. We don't. That's not the way we get our information.
Amen.
You know, you can go to the book of Acts. Acts is a transitional book.
That's right. Yep, right.
There's things that happen at the first part of Acts that you don't see at the end of Acts.
Right.
I mean, they're going to cast lots for a disciple in the first part of of Acts. There's no more casting lots at the end of book Acts. Paul saw a dream.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 16. We don't need to see dreams.
Amen.
See, when that which is perfect has come, that
Amen.
Which is in part is done away
Amen.
With.
Amen.
We've got a complete and perfect Word of God
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
That charismatic over there with dreaming and hollering about it, what God showed him. Listen, God showed every one of us the truth.
Amen.
We've got the truth of God, the Word of God.
Amen.
We'll be doing good if we can live up to that book.
That's right.
Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from
Amen.
It. Just take the Word of God as
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
But that Bible wasn't available to Joseph.
That's right.
And so he got a second dream. I believe those dreams came from the Lord.
Amen.
I believe those dreams signify the calling. Look over here. Look over here, chapter 50, the last chapter. We've already read this verse a couple of times already. They sent a messenger, verse 16, unto Joseph, saying, the they is those brethren. They sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall I say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren for and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I mean, he's told them over and over. But now he says, and the brethren also went and fell down before his face.
Right.
And they said, behold, we be thy servants.
Amen.
And Joseph said, fear not.
Amen.
For am I in the place of God?
Amen.
But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive.
Amen.
What he said was, what I told you over there about the fields, what I told you about the stars in the sky is now complete.
Right.
It was the Word of God. If he hadn't told, somebody said, well, he could have been more tactful. You cannot be tactful with the truth of God.
Amen.
It's either, hey, if it's not truth, it's just not truth.
If
you go down there at the cancer doctor and you got a sore on your arm and he rubs a little salve on it, wraps up one of them things around you and says, you go on home, you'll be all right. And two or three months, that cancer breaks out on you.
Yeah.
You're not going to think he's a very good doctor, are you?
That's right.
You come over here and I patch up some little old message and give you a little honeydew, and you go home with a little sweet, romantic touch, and you haven't got your sore fixed.
That's right, amen.
You haven't heard the real truth.
Yes, sir.
You're going to say, Brother Wayne, you wasn't much of a preacher.
That's right, amen.
I'm not a car salesman.
Amen.
I don't have to have your good favor.
Amen.
Joseph told the truth.
Amen.
When Joseph told the truth in chapter 37, by the time you get to chapter 50, they ought to recognize that was the truth of God.
Right. Right.
And what's happened is exactly what God told us. Hey, get your Bible out and look at it.
Amen.
What's happening? Somebody said, man, what's happening to our country? What's happening in our economy? What's happening to our military? Hey, Get your Bible out.
Yeah.
God's already said it.
Amen.
God's either true or God's a liar. Let God be true and every man
Amen.
A liar.
Right.
What Mark said.
Right.
So Joseph wasn't very tactful. And Joseph wasn't very popular. But Joseph two times gave them, even his own, look at this verse now. And his father rebuked him, said unto him, what is this dream? This is verse 10 of 37.
Yeah.
That thou hast dreamed, shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? Yes, sir. That's
right.
Exactly what it is.
Right.
And his brother envied him. Here's what I think. You remember that night? Back over there in chapter 20-something, when Jacob is running from Esau and comes down to that place called Bethel and makes a rock for a pillar and wakes up to see the angels descending and ascending on a ladder into heaven. And he said, God, if you'll just go with me, I'll serve you. I'll give you my life and I'll be your man. And made a commitment.
That's right. Amen.
I think between verse 10, here, this is the way I'm reasoning this out. Between verse 10, where father rebukes, and verse 11, where his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Somewhere in the middle of all that rebuke and hollering and confusion, God said, hey, bud, do you remember that day you saw a dream?
Yeah.
Remember when you had a vision? You remember when you struggled? Hey, church, before we throw rocks, that old boy comes in with long hair and tattoos all over him and earrings and we just kind of back off.
Right.
Before we do that, what about that day when you came in?
Amen.
And you were the one with the problem.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
What about that day?
Right.
What if somebody hadn't come and put an arm around you and said, Jesus loves you and I want to pray with you and help you?
Amen.
What about it? How are we going to do it?
That's right.
Joseph was a little different than all the rest of the boys.
Yes,
and now they're envying him. But Dad has got the message.
Right.
Dad's going to say it again further over. Sure did set a barrier with the brothers, didn't it?
Yeah.
But what it... I just read 50, verse 20. Let's read 45.
Amen.
Chapter 45, verse. Before we read that, I want to read one more verse here. We read 11. Yeah. His father observed the saying.
That's right.
His father rebuked him. And he said, shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on to the earth?
Yeah.
The dreams brought us to the crux of the call.
Yeah.
Now Joseph is not just one of the boys anymore.
That's right.
His dad has already put him in charge of the flocks and the family farm. But now God has put him in charge of a nation of people.
That's right.
I studied this for 2 years. Somewhere along the way, one day it dawned on me, hey, if Joseph hadn't obeyed God, Israel would have been destroyed.
Right.
I mean, Jacob couldn't hold it together. Jacob died.
Right.
Everything else around him was nothing but reprobates and wickedness. But Joseph obeyed God.
Amen.
And because Joseph obeyed God, that nation of Israel was protected.
Amen.
So in a manner of speaking, you could say that Joseph was the Savior of Israel.
That's good.
Who brought them down to a place of the Savior of the whole world.
Amen.
And if Joseph hadn't have protected the lineage of Israel so that Jesus could be born of the tribe of Judah,
right,
and in the house of Bethlehem in the nation of Israel, where would we be?
That's right.
We've got a Savior because Joseph was obedient to the Word of God and the call of God. Now he's under the call.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to put this right here. Some of you playing loose, kind of churchy.
Yeah.
Amen.
But you haven't really dedicated yourself to the Word of God, the will of God,
amen,
and the call of God on your life.
Amen.
There may be a grandkid or a great grandkid or a neighbor kid or somebody out there that is dependent on you.
That's right, brother. Come on.
To preserve the Savior.
Amen.
Down to a time that they can reach in heaven.
Amen.
That's what revival's about.
Amen.
We're not called to serve ourselves. We're called to serve the Lord.
Amen.
We're not here to get glory to us.
Amen.
It's not just a church picnic or a skating party or something.
Right.
We're here about souls. It's that this world might see the Savior in us.
Amen.
That we might be the servants of God, ready to carry the gospel out to that lost world.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Well, I guess I've used up my time. Let me go one step further. I want you to look at this. In 37. And his brethren went and to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Anybody remember Shechem? Shechem's that place in chapter 35 where Dinah was defiled. Shechem's that place where the brothers murdered the whole city. It's a wicked place. Now, this wicked crowd of boys is carrying the sheep down there to a wicked place. If you was Jacob, would you wonder about it a little bit? I mean, they're not keeping the curfew. They went somewhere that Dad said don't ever come back there.
Right.
And so Dad says, Israel said to Joseph, when Israel says to Joseph, it's directions to the chosen.
Amen.
When God says, come over here and us fellowship together, it's directions to the chosen ones.
Amen.
When God says, don't you see this darkness all around us? Can't you come and walk in the light with me in fellowship?
Amen.
It's directions to the chosen.
That's right. Amen.
And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, here am I.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, if you had been Joseph, and you've been through what Joseph has been through with your brothers,
right,
would you want to go to Shechem? No, sir. We've got it all messed up.
Yeah.
We got the idea that serving God's just a Sunday picnic on a path lined with roses. I preached a mission conference with a fellow from Romania who had been in prison 20 years for preaching the gospel. He had a little book that said it's a path not lined with roses. I still got it on my shelf.
Yeah.
While he was in prison 20 years, his wife and the ladies of the church cleaned the church up and got it back going again. And his son surrendered to preach and pastor that church while he was in prison for preaching. What would make anybody do that? Nothing but the love of God.
Amen.
Not one thing but the love of God.
Amen.
Now Joseph has just come through all this abuse about the coat and about that supervisory role that he has now. The youngest guy is now the boss.
Right.
I just wrote down some stuff. He was in his comfort zone. It's just him and Dad there now. And he is the prize of his daddy.
Right.
Sometime you can go over to chapter 50 and read those last words of Jacob to his boys. He said to that oldest one, "You're just like water.
That's right.
You wishing. You go every direction." He said, "You two murderers are bloodthirsty."
Right.
Well, anyway. He's in his comfort zone. And he said, his dad said, "Hey, those boys are over in Shechem. No telling what's going on over there. Why don't you go over and check on them?" Here's what I wrote down. Joseph was absolutely submissive. He said, "Here I am. Here am I." You look at your Bible, there's a day that God says, "Abraham, Abraham."
Yeah.
And Abraham said, "Here I am."
That's right.
God said, "Take Isaac, take him up there and sacrifice him on Moriah."
Amen.
And he got the wood and the fire. And absolute obedience.
That's right. Amen.
It's not reasonable. I mean, I'd like to... What Joseph could have said, "Well, let me rest up here a day or two, Dad." But he didn't do that.
Amen.
"What'd you do, Joseph?" "I went in there and got my many-colored coat, put it on."
Right.
"Because I'm the supervisor, don't you know? I'm in charge of this wild bunch. And I've got to go over now and check on them. I've got to find them in that wicked place." That's exactly what will happen here tomorrow morning. In tomorrow Saturday?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that door knocking day?
It's door knocking day.
You know what we got to do is get away from our comfort zone.
That's right.
And put on our
robes,
our righteous robes.
Yes.
And go out there in a wicked world.
That's right.
And find sinners that need a Savior.
Amen.
And bring them to Jesus.
Yes.
And so he was a submissive.
Amen.
And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale, out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Not only is he submissive,
yeah,
he's sacrificial.
Amen.
He's going down there in the enemy territory.
Right.
He's going at the command of the Father, and he may not be back.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
He's not preserved. Hey, he even put on his robe. They can see him coming for miles.
That's right.
Verse 15, a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in a field, and the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them there at Dothan. The Bible said it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful.
Amen.
He didn't quit at Shechem.
Right.
He kept looking until he got the message for Dothan, and then he went to Dothan.
Amen.
By now, he's 80 miles from home. And when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, verse 18, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." You know what they said? They said the Word of God doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
He just spouted the Word of God to us about in those dreams.
Right.
It's just all a big joke. We can go on and live and be who we are, and God will never hold. Hey, this Word of God, he said
right.
this Word of God is alive.
Amen. Right.
This Word will never lose its power.
Amen. That's right.
This Word will judge you.
Amen.
If you reject it.
That's right. Amen.
He was sacrificial.
Amen.
He was committed.
That's right.
He was faithful.
Amen.
Now you're going to... Let me give you the end of it and I'll quit. I've got these three verses marked. Reuben made a little pitiful. He said, "Let's just drop him in the pit and not kill him."
Right.
And then he disappears.
Right.
And it came to pass when Joseph, verse 23. Don't you look these three verses with me. It came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. He didn't have to wear that coat, but he wore that coat because he was a representative of the Father.
Amen.
He was faithful to what he was called to.
Amen.
They stripped him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
I mean, they stripped him. 11 brothers have stripped him.
Right.
And now they throw him naked into the pit. Can you hear him?
Yep.
Can you hear him crying?
That's right.
Can you hear him calling for help?
That's right.
Can't you hear him saying, Reuben, I thought you'd help me. Judah, where you at? You've been my friend. Are you going to leave me here? And while he's weeping and crying, they sat down and ate lunch.
That's right, they did.
They sat down and ate bread and lifted their eyes and saw that caravan coming. They were wicked. They were absolutely wicked. They were inspired of Satan. Jesus said, the thief has come, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He says that he's the father of lies. That he's not just a liar, he's the father of lies.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you can go out there and play a world game and live under his dominion.
Yes, sir.
Or you can hear the hear the Master say, come unto me,
amen,
all ye that labor and are heavy laden, amen, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Hey, you watch old Joseph 13 chapters later. You watch him.
That's right.
As he becomes the victor.
That's right.
And the ruler.
That's right.
And the provider.
Yes, sir.
And the forgiver.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Just like Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing to be called a child of God?
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing to just be able to say, I'm here for a purpose.
Amen.
It's not just TV shows or some football game somewhere.
Amen.
Or, hey, it's not some hero over there in a nightclub.
Amen.
But I've got a real Savior.
Amen.
And He has dressed me in a robe of righteousness.
Amen.
I can get prayers answered. I can go right into
Amen.
The Father's house and get prayers answered in
Amen.
His name.
Amen.
And He's going to go with me and never forsake me.
Amen.
You ought to get up close to Him.
Yes.
Let Him rub around on you a little bit and get
Amen.
To know you a little bit.
Amen.
We've been at the preacher's house and there's a dog over there that's been adopted. And I've watched everybody who comes through there try to get a tidbit to feed that dog.
Yeah.
Pat the dog, right? And pet on that dog a little, just to get acquainted with the dog. Just to have fellowship with the dog.
Right.
How long has it been since we crowded up against him? And humbled ourselves and prayed and sought His face and turned from who we are, our wicked way. Hey, don't you imagine old Joseph did a little praying down in that pit that day? They're eating lunch and they're not paying any attention. But he's getting hold of God. And he's going to come out on the other side.
Amen.
We need him tonight.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Everything's coming unraveled. Don't you feel it?
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you're a Democrat or Republican, but both of them are going down.
Right. That's right.
It's a mess.
It is.
We need help from heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We need God. And His promise is, we can have it.
Amen.
If we'll meet His condition.
Amen.
I mean, we can get to the Father. He'll hear our cry. He'll forgive our sins. He'll cleanse us. He'll wash us.
Amen.
He'll renew us. All right, let's stand. Father, I pray, God, that You've had Your way here tonight. Pray, Lord, that You'd help us to see ourselves like You see us. And I pray that You'd just turn our hearts back towards You. Give us a real burden for being with You, for loving You, for knowing You, for claiming Your blessings. Lord, help us to be reminded that we are advocates of the Father.
Yes.
We stand instead before a lost world to proclaim the gospel to them. Paul said, I'm now ready to preach that gospel. Help us, Lord, to take the gospel with us. Go out into this world where our righteousness, our holiness, that is only Yours, and tell them about You. Help us to search them out. Help us to yield ourselves. Help, right here tonight, there's somebody who needs to turn their heart over to You. Now, Lord, would You have Your way? In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hold on, dear. Hold on, dear.
Okay.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know about you, but instead of feeling like standing,